We're on Daf Lamed Aleph, Amid Aleph. And we're up to Tana Rabbanan, which you'll see more or less in the middle of the page. Like it's a few lines below Tosis Dibra Maskal Umotso. And the Brisa says the following: Ein Omdim Lispalel, Lomitoch Atzvus, Velomitoch Atzlus, Velomitoch Schok. Velomitoch Sicha.
Is where are we? We're not on the wide launch yet, are we?
No, not yet. We're almost there. We'll be there in a minute. Elamitoch Simcha Shal Mitzvah. So the Brisa says that the proper frame of mind for Tefillah is Simcha Shal Mitzvah. And you may remember the last thing that we discussed yesterday. We'll do a little revision. Is that according to the Brisa, what we need is Divrei Tanchumin v'Shevach. Tanchumin means consolation, words of consolation, and Shevach means praise. And the Brisa in a minute is going to derive this from the Nevi'im. We find by the Nevi'im that that's the way they left it with regard to Klal Yisrael. There was always a sense of Tanchumin, of consolation. Okay then? And therefore, v'chein lo yipoter adam mechavero, the Gemara says that the same thing applies after a meeting with a friend, and yipoter means when you say goodbye, you take leave, lo mitoch sicha, it shouldn't be what we call leitzanus, you know, joking around, lo mitoch schok, lo mitoch chalostrosh, different forms of levity and lighted, kind of stuff. Lo mitoch dvar betelim, or you speak things that are meaningless. Ela mitoch dvar halacha, but rather you should leave your friend with the last thing he should remember you with is a dvar halacha. And a dvar halacha, as we've said over and over again, means simcha, because the best way to get to simcha is to study the Torah. And then we quote the pasuk Pikudi Hashem Yishar Mesamche Lev. And the Brisa brings a proof. Shekei Matzinu b'Nevi'im HaRishonim. We find with regard to the early Rishonim, the early Nevi'im, that's Yoshua and all the Shoftim, Shmuel, and all of those generations, that when they finished, when they completed their Nevuah, Simu, they completed it, Divreyem, their words, B'Divrei Shevach v'Tanchumin, words of praise to Hashem, out of optimism and consolation. That's even though sometimes the Navi obviously has to give very harsh castigation, words of rebuke, and therefore the Jews as receiving that might be in a state of despair, but his ultimate goal is to give man a sense of hope and optimism. And this really touches on what we've discussed on many occasions, that very sensitive balance that man on the one hand has to feel that he's shafel, you know, he's low, who am I, you know, to stand in front of the infinite God, I'm just a speck of dust here today and gone tomorrow, flesh and blood. But yet at the same time, paradoxically, man has to integrate into those feelings of shiflus a sense of I am great. The pasuk says Vatchasreyu ma'at melokim, man was created a little bit less than the angels, and man is a great being that has tremendous potential. He can have an impact on everyone around him and on himself, and that through the study of Torah. So the study of Torah is meant to give a person a feeling of what we call v'sein chalkenu, that we, each and every one of us, has a chelik in Torah. And that's the Divrei Tanchumin that the Navi would leave, he would depart, and he would say, you know what, yes, I've castigated you. You know, you're not yet up to scratch. You know, you haven't reached the highest level. But at the same time, you have amazing potential. And therefore, a person should be aware of his accomplishments, but at the same time, Bira Ada, he should be trembling, lest he hasn't done the mitzvot and studied the Torah as properly as he should have. V'chein Tana Mari Bar Brei Deravuna Brei Deravim Bar Abba, and so too we were taught by someone by the name of Murray. I also have a cousin named Murray, and he was the grandson of Rabbi Yirmiyahu bar Abba. And he used to teach us, Al yipoter adam michaver, a person should not take leave of his friend, ela mitoch dvar halacha, except through words of halacha, shemitoch kach zochreyu. What I'm going to ask you to do is to try to figure out what those three words mean. Shemitoch kach zochreyu. Let's just translate the words literally, but you're going to have to put it all together and see what exactly is the reason why the Gemara recommends and advocates that before you take leave, you have to give him a dvar halacha. What does it mean, mitoch? Mitoch means through that, meaning through that method, through that means, kach. Who's Zochreyu? He remembers him. In other words, he shouldn't remember him because of joking and so forth and so on. He should remember him mitoch dvar halacha. And it could be that when you say a dvar halacha, it should be something new. Not something old and simple, but an insight. Because otherwise, why is he going to remember if you reviewed something that he knows? And now the Gemara is going to illustrate this with a story. Kiha, we find the story of Rav Kahana. What was the story of Rav Kahana? Alvei means vilashon lilavot. Lilavot means to escort someone. So he was escorting Lirav Simi Bar Ashi. And how far did they go? Listen carefully how far he escorted him. Mifum Nara. Fum Nara means they left from the shore. Nara is like the shore, the banks of the river. And he walked from there together with him. Again, maybe they had a donkey, it's not clear. Ad Beit Nyasa de Bavel. A place in Babylonia which is called Beit Sinyasa. Now, this is very important. What is the significance of the name Beit Sinyasa? So the word Sinyasa, which is an Aramaic word that really comes from Bavel, means date trees. In Hebrew, it's called Dekel. And Beit Sinyasa was a place where there were a great deal of, there was a grove of, shall we say, date trees. So they went from Pum Nara all the way to Beit Sinyasa. Kimata Lahasam. Mata means to arrive. Hasam means there. When they got there, Amale, Rav Kahana turns to Rav Simi Bar Ashi and he has a question. What is his question? He says, Mar means when you talk to someone in third person, you say, he. Vadai, di amri inshi. Is it vadai? Vadai means certain or true. Di amri, what they say, inshi people. Meaning there was a certain colloquial, idiomatic phrase that people in that area used to say. And what did they say? Hani, these, Tsinyasa de Bavel, these date trees in Babylonia, Isanu, they exist, May Adam Arishon, from the time of Adam, the Ad Hashta, and until Hashta means no. Today. Meaning that these date trees actually go back to the time of Adam Arishon. And that was the local, you know, talk and the custom people used to say in that area called Bay Tsinyasa. And now Rav Kahana is very curious to
the significance of Bay Tsinyasa. So that could have been two steps. We don't know how far that is from the beach. From the water.
Right. Okay, the reason why we assume it was quite a distance is because the Gemara adds that it was in Bavel. And Bavel usually means that you go from the shore all the way into Bavel in a place where there was a settlement. And on the banks of the river there were no settlements. Apparently he walked them a great distance. But truth be told, that's not the main point of this sugya. The main point of the sugya is that Rav Simi Bar Ashi is about to teach Rav Kahana a very important lesson. And that's how they're going to depart one from the other. And this lesson that Rav Simi Barashi is about to share and transmit to Rav Kahana was a result of the fact that Rav Kahana was curious as to whether or not, in Rav Simi's opinion, there was some truth to the local idiomatic phrase. There was an idiom, there was a phrase that described the Beitz and Yasa, that these date trees would date back all the way to Adam HaRishon. And the question is whether that is true or not true. Okay, I think we're having a little bit of... Amar Leh, so he said to him, this is Rav Simi responding to Rav Kahana. Adkarton, okay, now this is a very useful and common Aramaic word. Again, it's in conjugation, that's why we don't recognize it. Please keep in mind, the rule of thumb is that a Zion in Lashon Kodesh is changed into a Dalid in Aramaic. So the root of this word, which in Aramaic is Dalid Chaf Reish, in Hebrew would be Zion Chaf Reish. And what does Zion Chaf Reish mean? To remember, correct? To remember. So in the conjugation, you reminded me. Ad Karton. You reminded me. Milsa, a statement, the Rabbi Yossi, Rabbi Hanina, that I heard from Rabbi Yossi. In other words, your question stimulated my memory. And now I'm going to tell you, because you jolted my memory, what exactly I heard from Rabbi Yossi. The Amar Rabbi Yossi, Rabbi Hanina, my dichsiv. Okay, this is a pasuk, which you'll see in the Torah, is a pasuk in Yirmiyahu HaNavi, at the very beginning of Yirmiyahu. And part of the pasuk is here on your page. But you know what? It's always a good idea to read the pasuk in its entirety. And that's what I'm going to do for you now, so that you see the whole pasuk in context. V'lo amru aye Hashem hamale osanu me'eretz Mitzrayim. They will not declare, where is God who took us up from Mitzrayim? Hamolich osanu b'midbar, who guided us through the wilderness. Be'eretz harava v'shucha be'eretz tzio v'tzalmavis. These are various words that describe the harshness of the wilderness. And now the next part of the pasuk you'll see in the Gemara itself. Be'eretz asher lo avar ba'ish, in a land that no man passed through, v'lo yashav adam sham, and no man dwelled there. And this part of the pasuk is very curious, because you've already told me that this land was nobody ever sojourned there in that land. Avar ba'ish. Why do you have to tell me, therefore, v'lo yashav adam sham, that no man ever settled there? That's totally superfluous. And that's what he's going to ask him now. This is a question of Rabbi Yossi, who's being quoted by Rav Simi. What did Rabbi Yossi ask? V'chimei achar, now that you've told me, d'lo avar, that no man passed, heich Yashav, how could I have entertained the idea that maybe somebody settled there if nobody passed there? You can't settle there unless you go in there. Nobody ever went in there. Ella, but rather, there's a hidden secret in this pasuk. And what is the hidden secret? Lomar lecha, it's coming to teach you. Okay, that's an important phrase. Lomar lecha, it's coming to teach you. Now, just a word of introduction. We think that Adam HaRishon was the first man to live. He was created by, he was the handiwork of God, and that's all true. But sometimes we're not aware of the great power, the awesome power of Adam HaRishon. According to Chazal, Adam HaRishon was so great that the Malachim, they thought he was a god. They started bowing down to him. And the Chazal say that he had a vision he could see from Misof Olam at Sof, one end of the universe to the other, whatever that means. I just want to give you that background because, again, a lot of this changed after Honey, I Shrunk the Kids, meaning after Adam and Rishon sinned, and the Chazal say that God put his hand on Adam and Pashut shrunk him. But we're talking now about Adam and Rishon before the sin. He was, again, a little bit less than God, so to speak. He was an amazing creation.
Not for too long,
but at least for that period of time. But that period of time is very critical, as you'll see here. And also because we believe that period of time forever sets the potential for man. Oh. Lomar Lecha, what does this teach us? And then we'll try to fit it back into the pasuk. Kol Eretz, any land, Shegozar decreed Aleha regarding it, Adam HaRishon, Li Yishuv, whenever Adam HaRishon designated a strip of land for Yishuv, in other words, he or his descendants would settle therein, Nisyashva, it came to pass. They did actually settle it. But for Chol Eretz Shelo Gazar Aleha Adam HaRishon Li Yishuv, but any land that Adam HaRishon did not decree that land will be settled, it remained desolate. Lo Nisyashva. So now let's plug this back into the pasuk in Yirmiyah. The pasuk says Lo Yashav Adam Sham, and we pointed out that this is totally superfluous. We already know that nobody settled there because Lo Avar Ba'ish, no one passed through that land. So what's the chidush of the last four words in this pasuk, and those four words now form like a unit, an independent unit unto itself. Lo Yashav Adam Sham. What does it mean, Lo Yashav Adam Sham? The Navi could declare that this was left out of the lands, this land was omitted from those lands which were designated by Adam HaRishon for Yishuv, and that's called Lo Gazar Aleha Yishuv. And that's an extra chidush, some extra insight that we derive from those words of Lo Gazar, Lo Yashav Adam Sham. And now getting back to your question, Rav Kahana, why is it that people claim that here in this area called Tzinyasa, right, Beit Tzinyasa, that these date trees in Bavel, they date back to the time of Adam HaRishon? It means that Adam HaRishon designated this area that it would be a Yishuv. It would be, instead of desolate, but rather it would be a place which flourishes with date trees. And our point to this whole story is that you see that when Rav Simi took leave of Rav Kahana, after Rav Kahana accompanied him for such a long trip, he did so with Divrei Torah. He wanted to tell him something. And it occurs to me that if you travel down to the Dead Sea, as an example, and there are probably many examples up north, you will see certain specific areas where date trees grow. In fact, there's a kibbutz down there in that area near the Dead Sea, which is called Dekalim because of the many date trees. You'll see it also down south if you move towards the Gaza Strip. And it occurs to me, based on this Gemara, I'm not here to determine anything, that it could very well be that those are the areas that were pinpointed already by Adam HaRishon. Now, what you want to look at here, in order to give this Gemara a little bit more flavor, is something in the back here that's called the Yalkut Biurim. You don't have it in your Gemara. So while you're going over this, I just want to see if we can make a little bit more progress, and then you'll break into Chavrusa. I would love you to see that piece, which I think sheds a light on what exactly is going on here. So again, we're leaving it really very much up in the air, and I hope you enjoy dates, because this whole sugya is about dates and the significance of dates. Oh, great. I also ate some dates today. It's interesting.
Not from Adam HaRishon, though.
Okay. Now, The Gemara tells us, as a continuation of the previous story about one person who accompanies, escorts another person, that Rav Mordechai, again, I'm not familiar with him, I only know Mordechai from the Megillah, and I have a couple of friends by that name, some of them are rabbis, but Rav Mordechai Alvieh, he accompanied, again, Rav Simi Barashi. Rav Simi Barashi must have had a lot of disciples.
He had a lot of friends.
And he went on a lot of trips. Mi Hagronia, from a place called Hagronia, Viad Bei Chife. Now, Bei Chife is, and again, that's one version of about where they stopped. Bei Chife is a place that's given a name because of its many bridges. I guess there were ravines or maybe bodies of water, and in order to get from one place to the other, they had to travel over a number of bridges. And that's why they gave it the name Bei Chife. Amri Leh, another version has it, Ad Bei Dora, until a place called Bei Dora. Now this last piece of Gemara seems to be totally meaningless. And if we would erase it, we would not be missing any great piece of knowledge. Because the Gemara doesn't tell us, what did Rav Mordechai ask Rav Simi Barashi when they finally got to that destination? And what did he respond? So that I can't help you with. I looked around, I didn't find anything. I'm still going to continue looking. Tana Rabbanan. Now we get back to the halachic track. Hamispalel, one who davens, tzorich, chiyachaven es libo lashamayim. He has to have full kavana intention, his heart, his emotion, his essence, his soul, to Shamayim. Now, there are two interpretations of this Gemara. One is he has to have kavana that he's standing in Shamayim, as if he's standing up in front of God in the heavenly spheres. Others say, La Shamayim means that everything that he prays for, he should pray for the sake of God. Meaning that even when he's asking for his own health or the health of his family or for a protection of Klal Yisrael, it's all because this is what God wants. It's all part of a divine plan that's leading to an ultimate goal that God has in mind. Either way, Abba Sholomer, Simon Ladavar, I want to give you a memory device. Usually the word Simon for this, Ladavar for this thing. Simon is a memory device. And he quotes here a pasuk in Tehillim, and once again you'll see this pasuk quoted in its full-blown way in the Torah Or. I'll read the parts, you know, the four words that are not published, printed on the page. Tavas anovim shamata Hashem. The desires of the humble people you have heard, and as God hearkens and listens to the prayers of the humble. Tachin libam Takshiv Aznecha, which means that if they prepare their hearts, you will listen to them. Okay then? So again, we have this statement of Abba Shol, that this pasuk of Tachin Libam Takshiv Aznecha, that if they prepare their hearts, then that's the precondition for God listening to them. And interesting that Abba Shol calls this a Simon Ladavar. He's not willing to say that this is a clear-cut proof. He's only willing to go as far as to call it a what? A Simon, like a memory device. I would have thought that this is much more than a Simon. I would have said Raya Ladavar. Raya Ladavar means a proof text. The answer is that I think, perhaps, the simple pshat of this pasuk is not that we have to prepare our hearts and that will be a prerequisite for tefillah, but rather we're talking about not exactly understanding the tefillah. You know, you have many people who read the prayers in the original, in Lashon Kodesh. They don't understand what they're reading. Now they have, Baruch Hashem, these linear translations that make it a little easier. And Lechora, what we saw here in the Tana Rabbana is Kavana. Maybe Kavana means that I have to have an understanding, an intention in every word of the Tefillah. But in any event, that's not what it says over here. The Pasuk is talking about what we call Hachanas HaLev or Taras HaLev, meaning that a person should cut himself off from any involvement in the thoughts of the world, all the pressures of life. And the pasuk doesn't say explicitly that a person has to have the kavana. The pasuk really tells us that if he has kavana salev and he's able to focus his heart, then Hashem will certainly listen to his prayers. So there are two ways of understanding why this pasuk is shy of a proof. Either it falls short of a proof because we really want to establish that a person should understand the words that come out of his mouth when he prays, and that it doesn't say in this pasuk at all. Or number two, this pasuk does not command us to prepare our hearts. What it does tell us is that we do prepare our hearts, then Hashem will hearken to our prayers. Let's just see if we could just fit in one more piece of Gemara, and then we'll break for Chavrusa. Tanya, we learned in Abraisa. Amar Rabbi Yehuda. Rabbi Yehuda made the following statement. Kach, such and such. Haya, I want to testify. Haya min hago shel Rabbi Akiva. This is an unbelievable Gemara, and I wish people would take it to heart. The Gemara testifies about Rabbi Akiva. So you and I would imagine that Rabbi Akiva would stand a very, very long Shmon Esrei. Wouldn't that be your guess? Okay, listen what happens. Kshayim ispalel imat zibur, when Rabbi Akiva was davening together with what?
With
a tzibur. And now, if he was davening in the privacy of his own kosel, the wall of his house, that's a little different. You know, then let him go and go and go until Mashiach comes. But he was davening together with the tzibur. And you could imagine that if somebody as great a personality as Rabbi Akiva was davening with the tzibur, what did they do? They would wait for him. Hayamakatzer viola. He would shorten his prayer. Viola. Ola means he would probably, I assume, again we'll have to see Rashi, he would stand up and make it seem that he had finished his tefillah. And why? Mipnei Torah HaTzibur. And this opens up a whole discussion in Halacha. What does it mean, Torah HaTzibur? What constitutes Torah HaTzibur? But in any event, he would shorten the bridge Hishmon Esrei. Instead of saying a long Shmon, again, they didn't have a printed prayer over there. So at that time, what it meant was that he had many supplications. Rabbi Akiva lived at a very, very challenging time in Jewish history. And he probably had a lot to pray for, but nevertheless, he would cut it short, mipnei Torah HaTzibur, because the Shliach Tzibur would wait for him. He was the gadol, he was the giant. But Ukshaya, just to get the contrast, Ukshahaya, when he was mispal beinola veinatzmo, if he was davening in the privacy of his own home, is then adam einicho. You, when you left his house and you saw him davening, you left him bezavizu. Rabbi Akiva was in that corner, and then when you came back from your davening, which is probably an hour later, umoto bezavis acheres, and he was in another corner. I mean, how can a person like Rabbi Akiva jump from one corner of the room to the other? And the Gemara answers, Mipnei Krios Vishtachavoyos. He was so involved in bowing and in prostrating himself that he ended up in a different part of the room. He probably didn't even know about it. And the answer is that, again, in those days, they didn't have a limited, specific time and place in the tefillah where you do korin u'mishtachavim. And therefore, Rabbi Akiva felt that whenever it was necessary for him to pour out his heart to Hashem, he would bow down. And because of all his bowing, in his long tefillah, they would find him in a different place. And the next piece of Gemara, which I'd like you to prepare, the Gemara insists that a person should always daven in a place where there are windows, where he could see out. And l'chora, that contradicts everything we've been saying, that a person should be focused on his tefillos and he should not be distracted. So what I'm going to ask you to try to figure out is, what is the advantage? Why would a person... We'd like to discuss for a moment, is there a machlokes between the Mishnah that emphasizes COVID rush as the preparatory stage for tefillah, or The alternative is mitoch halacha psuka, which we saw in the Braisa. And Tosis here, Dibar Asel Rabbanon, right, that on the Gemara that says the Rabbanon avdi kemasnisin, Tosa says v'kavasayu kaimelon, we paskin like that group of Rabbanon, therefore ein mispalim mitoch kalas rosh, etc., etc., el mitoch kovid rosh. But then Tosis adds v'simcha shel mitzvah. Oh, the Marshal understands from Tosis that we paskin like the Rabbanon and like Ravashi, and the main thrust here is kovid rosh. The Pnei Yeshua explains that Tosis had a girsa like the Rif, that Ravashi implemented the recommendation of the second Braisa, and therefore Tosis adds here Simcha Shel Mitzvah. Although Tosis omits the Halacha Psuka that was mentioned in the first Braisa, but they emphasize the Simcha Shel Mitzvah in the second Braisa. And it's very possible that Tosis is of the opinion that there is no debate, there's no controversy between the Mishnah and the Braisa, and not between the Rabban and Rav Hashi. And there are two alternative methods. If you choose to take the method of Kovid Rush, that's fine. If, on the other hand, he wants to stand Mitok Simcha Shel Mitzvah, that's also acceptable. And we've discussed in the past that perhaps you could integrate the two. There could be a Simcha Shel Mitzvah at the same time, a Kovid Rush. The Bach in Orchaim Simon Tzadi Gimel explains that it's a mitzvah and a muvchar to be Omid Vitfila Mitok Kovid Rush. And that means the aim of the Hachna mentality, that mental state. But not everyone is able to achieve that level of Kovid Rush, of Hachna and Ema, and therefore the Braisa gives you another opportunity, another method of preparing for tefillah, namely, Mitoch Simcha Shel Mitzvah. The Gaon says that there's no machlokas between the Mishnah of Kovid Rush and the Braisa of Simcha Shel Mitzvah. The Mishnah is talking about Omdim, that's a reference to tefillah Shmoneh Esrei. And that has to be Bachna. The Brice is talking about Tefillah B'miyushav, when you're sitting down, which means Psukin Zimra, Kriyat Shema, etc. There, the Ikar is Simcha Shel Mitzvah. Now, LaHalacha, do we require Halacha Psuka before davening? The Teferis Shmuel on the Rush understands from Rashi and the tour that la'alacha, we don't require that a person be omed b'tefillah dafka from halacha psuka. It's only coming to the exclusion that he shouldn't learn halacha she'ena psuka, which is a tirchas alev, and might cause him distractions. The same conclusion is indicated by the Vilna Gaon in Shnos Elio, and he's based on Akasha. He says they said that the Rabbanon did like the Mishnah, which means Kovid Rosh. Ravashi did like the Braisa, which means Halacha Psuka. Why don't we find that someone in the Poskim, Posek Halach Yedir HaBraisa? Nobody seems to paskin the Simcha Shel Mitzvah. He thinks that maybe there's a question about the manuscript and the Gemara, and we should have the Girsa of Rabbanon Avdi. And therefore, Rav Ashi did like the second Brice of Simcha Shel Mitzvah. The Rabbanan chose the Kovid Rush of the Mishnah. And in the Brice of Rishona, when it says Halacha Psuka, that's not a Chiyuv. It's only that if someone is studying Halacha, he should not be studying a deep, profound Halacha, but rather Halacha Psuka. Now, what's the deal in a case of someone who's Osek B'Tzorchei Tzibur? There's a Tosus here, Divrei Maskil Rashi, Ravashi, and he wants to suggest that HaOsek B'Tzorchei Tzibur is like Osek B'Divrei Torah, and therefore he's ready and he's prepared for Tefillah. The Meiri says that even a person who's Osek B'Tzorchei Tzibur has to go ahead and be Miyashiv Libo, he has to focus on his Tefillah, prepare himself for the Tefillah. Now, we discussed the fact that Nevi'im Rishonim had this minhag of ending with words of consolation, of praise. The Marsha writes that we should not interpret which is the pshat that we thought that Nevi'im Rishonim is a reference to Yoshua, to the Shoftim, to Shmuel, and so forth. Hare Amru Shehem Simu Direi Shevach V'Tanchumin V'ilu Sefer Yoshua Messiahim B'Kvuras Eliezer Elazar Sefer Shoftim Messiahim B'Ish Hayosha Ben Avyasa. He goes through the various Nevi'im like Yoshua and the Shoftim, and he doesn't find that they complete their careers by leaving Bnei Yisrael with words of Shevach V'Tanchumin. Therefore, he reinterprets our Gemara. The Gemara doesn't mean Nevi'im, but rather the Nevi'im Shesnabu Al Puranius Hagoyim. The Gemara is referring only to those, isolating those Nevi'im that foretold the devastation and the suffering that the people of Israel will suffer at the hands of the nations. But at the end of their very despairing nevuah, they would complete it with divrei shevach v'tanchumin. The Gemara goes on to say, al yipoter odem mechaver litoch dvar aloch shemitoch kach zochreu. The Marsha explains shemitoch she Haniftar Omer Dvar Alocha Nizkar Gam Chaver V'Dvar Alocha Acher. He says that what you do is when you remind your friend of a certain halacha, he inevitably remembers a different halacha. And that's why it's a great idea to give him a Dvar Alocha. The Shalaz Girsay in Akmar is Mitoch Divrei Torah Shemitoch Kach Sochrehu. And according to the Shalaz, he should give him Divrei Torah Pshutim Uneimim. The Shalom wants you to leave your friend with Torah that's simple and sweet, hanichnasim l'toch libo, that'll enter into his heart, perhaps divrei chizuk, divrei musar, that'll enter into his heart, penetrate his heart, and therefore the girsa is mitoch divrei Torah. Divrei Torah always considered ne'imim, drachei darchei noham. However, the Gaon understands that Shnayim shalomdim nichtovim divreim b'sefer zichronos. When two people learn together, their study, the fact that they study, they embarked on a chavrusa, is going to be recorded in the book of records in front of Shomayim. And not only that, he goes on to say that as a result of the fact that they learn together, that they study together rather than separately, they remember their Torah much greater. The Zechira is greater. And that's what the Gemara tells us later on, based on the Pasuk Yirbi Acherev El Abadim, how terrible it is for those who insist on learning separate, independently, without joining with Chavrusa. So when the Gemara says here, Niftar Mechaveri Yipotim Menem Mitok Tivrei Halacha, what it means is that they should learn together something. They'll remember this Halacha, and that zikaron will be connected with the zikaron of the chaver. They'll remember their friend. What I was looking for is a little bit more of an insight as to why it's important. I understand on a psychological level, but halachically, why is it important that you want your friend to remember you? Is it that you hope that he'll owe you a favor in the future? He'll invite you to his son's wedding? Why is it so significant? Obviously, the Mishnah says, "Knei lecha chaver tov," you want to have a good friend, and you want to be able to keep in touch. They didn't have emails in those days and Skype. So the idea was that by learning together at the end of their stay together, time together, they would still keep in touch beyond that. And this is very true even to this day, how people, you know, they meet their childhood chavrusas after 40, 50 years, and yet They haven't forgotten each other. They remember those glorious days of youth when they learned together the chavrusa. The lashon of the Gemara is mitoch kach zochrehu. What does it mean? Mitoch kach zochrehu. Mitoch dvar halacha. What's the emphasis on mitoch? Toch usually means in the middle. And what that means in the middle, that sometimes a person could leave his friend with a question, and the question requires greater analysis, and that's called in the middle. That's mitoch. His friend will look into the question, hopefully, if you manage to stimulate his curiosity, and then long afterwards he'll remember the question, he'll remember the friend that asked him the question. But if he gives him a full-fledged dvar halach without a question, then after a certain amount of time he'll forget, and he'll forget his friend. And therefore the Gemara says Michavero, right? Al Yipotero the Michavero. Kevin Shirak Eitzel Chavero Toel Eitzazu. He's saying that the Gemara doesn't talk about a case of a Talmud departing from his Rebbe, because the Gemara wants to emphasize this idea of asking a question. You ask a question to a Chaver, he doesn't have necessarily an answer. If you ask a question to your Rebbe, hopefully he'll be able to answer your question. And not only that, he might tell him that your question is not even an intelligent question. Is therefore, you know, the Talmud is left with this sort of hanging in the air kind of feeling. He doesn't know whether his Rebbe sort of rejected him almost because the question was not intelligent. I remember we used to walk with that Rebbe on Motzei Shabbos, you know, from the shul of Maimonides all the way to his house, and it was a long walk, and people would fire questions at him, and more often than not, he wouldn't even pay attention to the question. Then somebody asked the question, and he, you know, it called his attention. He would stop, even in the middle of the street, in order to answer the question. Yimshalas chavero, if you ask your friend a question, on the other hand, even if he is silent, and how much more so if he admits that it's a good question, his friend is going to think about that question, and mitoch kach, he's going to remember his friend. We spoke about Hani Tzinasa de Bavel, and they were there from the time of Adam HaRishon. The Tosus Riyah Zaken, Tosus Riyah Chosid rather, asked the question. It says in the Medrash in Eicha, Arboim Shana Kolim Shagolu Yisrael de Bavel Natu Sham de Kolim. That was the place where Klal Yisrael planted date trees 40 years before they went into Golus. And here the indication is that these date trees go back to the time of Adam HaRishon. He says that at the time of Adam HaRishon there were date trees b'makom echad u'mesuyam, in one specific pinpointed area. But 40 years before the Golus, they planted date trees all over Bavel. And it's not clear to me why exactly they did so. For that we'd have to learn more of the Medrash in Eicha Rabbah. But perhaps we could suggest that the idea is that they knew they were coming to Bavel for a long period of time. Bavel would be the center of Torah study. They wanted to plant date trees. Date trees give shade, and it would facilitate their ability to study Torah, make their stay in Golus a little bit more comfortable, at least on a spiritual level, and possibly even on a material level. Now, what is this Dvar Halacha? You know, as he tells them that the date trees date back to Adam HaRishon. Does that have any halachic significance whatsoever? So this is the kasha that's asked by the Chasam Sofer and many others. Here we're talking about lo yipater mechaver lo bitoch dvar halacha. Wherein lies the dvar halacha over here? So the Chasam Sofer answers that the nafkamina halacha is based on a tosin of avodah zara, that an ilan shenivra misheches meibreshes ein lo tfisas yad adam v'nafkamina l'dinei ashera. There's certain halachas which, with regard to avodah zara, meaning if a tree was designated for avodah zara, that's called an asherah. You're not allowed to enjoy any benefit from it. But there is a concept called an ilan she'ein bo tfisas yad adam, and such a tree doesn't lend itself to the halacha of asherah unless you do something to change the tree. And an ilan she'olam e'elav, a tree that grew on its own, is different. The language of Tosfos is Ilan Sha'ala Me'elav mikol makom ha'ilan harishon she'megarino yotza zeh ha'isa v'otfisas yad adam u'machmas kein yesh la'asra. And Tosus says that if you have an Elon that dates back to Sheish Yisimei Abreishis, it never had a Tfisas Yad. And therefore it's not awesome Idin Asherah. The Yavitz offers a different answer based on the Gemara in Sukkah, Sinei HaRabarzel Ksheira LeMitzvahs Lulav. The Tana tells us that something called Sinei HaRabarzel, which produces lulavim that are very tough, very hard and sturdy, they're psulos, they're disqualified. And Rav Kahana thinks that Sanisa de Bavel also fit into that category, and they're not ru'uyim l'mitzvah. And the reason for that is because they're very old, and perhaps they go back to the time of Adam Rishon. That's what Rav Kahana thought based on the colloquial idiom. Ve'yeshivo, and Rav Simi Barashi responded with a dvar halacha, she'enem zkenim kol kach ru'uyos hein l'mitzvah, that you can use them as lulavim, meaning they're not so, you know, so tough. They're not kashim. The Maratz Chayas understands that Dvar Alocha, the phrase Dvar Alocha, includes even a Dvar Gada. And he quotes a Gemara in Sanhedrin to prove this. The Yad Yosef understands that there's an Afgemina, is Haroa, if somebody sees trees that date back to Maisa Bereishis, he has to make a separate bracha of Osa Maisa Bereishis. And there's another interpretation in the Yalkut, in quoting the Rambam writes in the Cheshchita, Shem Shachat Bekone Shem Chubar Mitchuyas Briyaso Konem Shiyakar Oso Shchitoso Psula. Okay, so here we'd have to learn the laws of Shchita. The Ben Yoyada has a Gemara Megillah about Krochim Amukafim Chomim Mos Yoshua Ben Nun. They read the Megillah on the 15th. If they weren't Mukafim Chomim Mos Yoshua Ben Nun, they read Megillah on the 14th. And then Afkamina is these day trees, Shahayu Mimos Onam Arishon, Mimos Onam Arishon, and Kein Mistaber Shahaya Liyadam Yishuv Shal Bnei Adam. There was a settlement near these, this grove of day trees, and it dates back to an early period of time. And therefore we could treat this area as a Makom Mukaf Chomim Mos Yoshua Ben Nun, and they would have to read the Megillah on Tesvav, meaning the fact that these Dekalim date back so to such ancient history is a Simon that in fact the area there is Chayav in Megillah from the time of the fifth, on the fifteenth of Nisan, 15th of Adar. Why isn't this pasuk of Tachin Liba and Takshiv Aznecha a raya to prove the statement here that a person must be mechavin before he davens? Rabbi Yonah says that we're talking about halachic, the halachic requirement here is the amiras hamilin shemotzim mipiv, he should understand the words that come out of his mouth. This pasuk is only a simon l'dov because the pasuk is talking about kavana, not kavana samilos, but rather taras halev. The Shidim Gubetza says that we call it a simon because the pasuk has no mashmos, doesn't indicate shetzarech lechavin, but rather that if he was mechavin, then his tefilos will in fact be accepted. Okay, I just wanted to point out to you that in this Yalkut that I told you about, in the back of my Gemara, he has a very interesting point here about this whole story about these date trees that date back all the way to Adam Arishon, and he wants to know why is that called, you know, departing from your friend with Dvar Halacha. There doesn't seem to be any halachic significance to the fact that these date trees could be so ancient. So he quotes a Gemara in Masechta Zvachim, a profound sugya, which I don't know if we'll be able to even touch, but I just wanted to share with you to show you how far they went with this. The Gemara records a debate between Rabbi Yochanan and Reish Lakish if about the mitzvah of Parah Aduma. You know that the Parah has to be burnt. That's called Sreifas HaParah. And the question there in the Gemara is, do you have to, is there a specific place that's designated for the Sreifas HaParah? And that's where they would check out the ground and make sure everything was tar, and that's where they would burn the Parah. And the Gemara explains that what's the machlokus all about? And the Gemara says the machlokus is about the mabul, believe it or not. Whether the mabul affected Eretz Yisrael. And if it did, then there may have been, you know, dead corpses that were buried in Eretz Yisrael back at the time of the mabul. And it's a Dovr HaMetame, and therefore there should be, you know, you should have to really check out the area before you do Sreifas HaParah, because Parah has to be done B'tar. That's one opinion. The other opinion is that says no, there was no Mabul in Eretz Yisrael. The Mabul affected the entire earth with the exception of Eretz Yisrael, and therefore Eretz Yisrael is always assumed to be tar. You know, you don't have to go crazy and try to dig up the ground to see if there's anybody buried there, because there was no Mabul. And there's no mixture here of the bones of the dead people.
But
okay? Wait, just give me one more minute. I'm sorry, I need one more minute just to get the picture, because I don't know where we're going with this, but let's just see. So the Medrash says that the Pasuk in Bereishis writes that the Mabul Macha es kol hayikum, and the Mabul completely devastated the entire earth, and lo nishar eitzim al pnei hadama, and as a result there were no trees left on the ground. Umasha hevia hayona ale zayis, and the Chazal asked if the Mabul indeed uprooted all the trees on the face of the earth, how could it be that the dove had in its mouth an olive branch? And the Medrash answers that olive branch came from Eretz Yisrael. Shalom nimchasa v'mabul, it was not destroyed during the Mabul. Or it came from not anywhere in Eretz Yisrael, but from Gan Eden. If you say it came from Gan Eden, then the rest of Eretz Yisrael was affected by the Mabul. But if it's somewhere, this Alei Zayis came from somewhere in Eretz Yisrael, not specifically Gan Eden, then it means that all of Eretz Yisrael was spared from the Mabul. In any event, it's Poshet LeMedrash. The Medrash lays down a simple, unquestionable premise: Shenimchu Kol Ha'ilonos B'Mabul, that all the trees were destroyed during the Mabul, and that's the Diyun of the Gemara of Reish Lakish and Rabbi Yochanan. Ha'im nomar kipshuto, in the case of Tzinasa shebebavel, these dekalim in that area, if they were miyamos adam arishon, then it would be proof positive that they weren't destroyed at the time of the Mabul. And therefore it's possible that the Yonah would have brought a branch from one of those ilanos that Hayoni Yochlo Lahavi Me Ilanos Shebimokom HaMabul, V'kein Yitochen Shegam Be'eretz Yisrael Hoya HaMabul, So again, let me just, if I get this one point, then I have something. He's then the Yonah could have taken a branch from the Mabul. In Kain Yitochin Shagam Be'eretz Yisrael Hoya Mabul. Yitochin Shagam Be'eretz Yisrael Hoya HaMabul. Rav Kahana Sovrisha Mabul Mochas Kol Ilonos. Umuchach Shayone Via Olav Eretz Yisrael. Oh. So basically, what he's presenting here is the following thesis. If we maintain that there are Ilonos that date back to the time of Adam HaRishon, and where are they? They're in this place called Tzinasa de Mabul, then, right? Tzinasa de Mabul, that it means that the Mabul did not uproot all the trees. Again, the measures that we saw assumes that the Mabul removed all the trees, except perhaps for the trees in Gan Eden, or perhaps for the trees in Eretz Yisrael. But if we assume that there's a place in Bavel that has trees that date back to what?
Adam
HaRishon, that it means that the Mabul did not, in fact, against the Medrash, right, that the Mabul did not, in fact, uproot all the Lonos. If it didn't uproot all the Lonos, then, okay, then what? Then we have to worry about the fact that even in Eretz Yisrael, the Mabul may have affected the land and buried the dead under the ground, and therefore we have a tumor problem for Srefas Paraduma. Where did the Yonah get in Aleh Zayis? The answer is that there were many trees, even in Chutzlar, it's not Dafkin Etzel, that were left from the Mabul. Now let's see the flip side, maybe this will clarify it a little better. If on the other hand, the Mabul destroyed all the trees on the ground, on the earth, all the trees on the earth, and these date trees that we're looking at now do not date back to the pre-Mabul period of Adam HaRishon, then where did the Yonah get its Olah Shel Zayis from? It must have gotten it from Eretz Yisrael, because there was no Mabul in Eretz Yisrael. If there was no Mabul in Eretz Yisrael, then I could burn the para anywhere in Eretz Yisrael. Okay, Tom, now I'm ready for you. I'm sorry, I just had to. There's such a mathematical calculation here. Yes.
The question I was going to ask is, I thought that only a Goyish base, or a Goyish base doesn't give tumah, only a Jewish base gives tumah. If it's only a Goyish base, what difference does it make where there were no Jews then anyway?
I can't answer your question because I'm not a Bucky in Tumah Vatara, but if I only had this source in front of me, I would tell you that any bones of any dead human being would be a problem for the Srefas Para. Now I don't know how to evaluate that. But more important to me, because again I'm not a Bucky in Hilchas Tumah Vatara, is just to
animals.
Animals is not metame, but the problem is that the Mabul destroyed, you know, the human race, and that's the problem of tumah. So again, did the Mabul affect Eretz Yisrael or not? That's going to be the machlokas between Reish Lakish and Rabbi Yochanan and Masechet Zvachim. The nafkamina lalocha is whether or not we have to check every area of Eretz Yisrael before we burn the paraduma there. If there was no Mabul in Eretz Yisrael, then we can assume the place is tar. If there was a Mabul in Eretz Yisrael, we have to worry about the bury of the bodies, the human corpses. And all this depends upon how we understand Tzinasa de Bavel. If this place had indeed trees that dated back to Adam HaRishon, that means pre-Mabul, that it means from the fact that the Yonah brought back an Aleh Zayis, doesn't prove a thing about Eretz Yisrael. Because there were trees that weren't uprooted at the time of the Mabul. Haraya, these are trees that are alive today, alive and well, still flourishing, even though what? Even though they were there already at the time of Adam HaRishon, before the Mabul. If, on the other hand, the assumption is that these trees that we're looking at don't date back to Adam HaRishon, it means that we have the right to assume, which is the simple pshat in the parasha, that the Mabul destroyed all the trees. And if that be the case, we're left with the proof, well, how did the Yonah receive an Aleh Zayis? It must be that Eretz Yisrael wasn't affected by the Mabul. The nafkamina is going to be whether you need bedika on the land of Israel in order to proceed with the ceremony of Sreifas Hapor. Okay, I thought I would share that with you again. When I came into the classroom, I thought I had it worked out, but then I realized that it's a little... Now I have it, I think. Yeah.
Well, why would just
and
the bones...
It doesn't make sense because maybe the Canaanites were buried anywhere in Israel, even after the flood.
Correct, but, you know, that we can pinpoint maybe areas where they lived. But in the case of the Mabul, you know, the corpses completely eradicated the earth.
Right.
David?
No, it was a similar
question. No. All right, let's go back to Gemara. But again, why am I spending so much time on this?
Maybe this place was on the border of Eretz Yisrael.
I'm spending time in this, George, for two reasons. First of all, I want to show you that this story about, you know, the Dekolim here in this place is not just Dvarim Shel Mabakach. It is a Dvar Halacha. The only thing is, the Gemara doesn't spell out for us what the Dvar Halacha. And that leads me to the second point, that you see how much time and effort with tremendous, how should I say, breadth of knowledge here, a Sugin Zvachim, a Medrash, a question and answer, a din in Paraduma. I mean, did you know that we were learning the laws of Paraduma here? So since we read the Parsha of Parah just recently, it's also timely in that sense.
Did you get anything on why these two rabbis went on a journey and we never heard back from them?
The second story.
Yes.
Couldn't come up with anything. I don't know, for some reason, I was let down on this here. Who is the Rav Mordechai, right?
Right.
He says the following. Hamaisa shel Rav Mordechai. Oh wow, this is unbelievable. I'm afraid to share this with you. Because it's going to undermine a lot of what we said. He says the following. Hiksha ha-Me'iri, the Me'iri asks, Kan lo kosuv, the Torah, the Gemara doesn't record, Sha'asu kefi ad-din, that they actually fulfilled the law that was mentioned early in the Gemara, that Tzarech li parid mi-chaver mi-tok va'alochem, came ma-ba, Gemara la-shmi'a b'kach, mitzvah levaya yedua, it's just teaching me that you have to accompany your friend, the tirutz, listen to this, hold on to your chairs, why? He's saying the Gemara now wants to prove that there is no chiyuv when you that there's no obligation automatically that when you leave your friend you have to leave him with a dvar halacha. Lo niftar menu mitok dvar halacha. Kevan shelo is damilan kaf. You know, they said goodbye. They didn't think about a dvar halacha at that moment. Is muchach what we see from this Gemara? That's why the Gemara placed it here. She'ein zeli kuva. Ella im efshar, if he can, you know, he has the ability. Hu davar na, it's a nice thing. Wow. So the Miri just turns everything upside down, inside out.
That's one of the keys to the halakha, right? That you have to accompany someone who's leaving your house a certain amount.
That we know.
Right. But that wouldn't be connected to this? No.
He's saying that that's other sugyas and we didn't need our Gemara here. No. We need our Gemara here to tell you that, look, it's a good idea, it's highly recommended, it embellishes your friendship if you can leave him with a dvar halakha. But you know what? Don't drive yourself to distraction in order. You know, I once saw a yeshiva guy. He was mamish carrying.
Rabbi Yossi wouldn't give it back to
I know about Rabbi Yossi. I don't know about Rabbi Yossi, but I'm saying I'm talking about a yeshiva boch. I don't know. I'm not sure his name was Yossi. You know him anyway. But he carried around with him in his pocket. A small edition of the Mishnah Berurah, and as soon as he said goodbye, he said, wait a minute, and he whipped out his Mishnah Berurah. He started learning Mishnah Berurah, and I thought it was a little bit odd, frankly, you know. I thought, you know, like, yeah, the Gemara talks about Yura, you know, when you become so pious that you exhibit, you know, a kind of behavior pattern that people think is very strange, you know. Then besides, you remember that the Gemara says, Simon Ledavar, Tachin Libon Takshiv Aznecha, correct? And I want to leave you with a Simon Ledavar. So the Mefarshim want to know, why is it called a Simon Ledavar? Isn't it pretty much explicit in the Pasuk?
What you should do.
That what you should do, correct? So it says in the Brisa, "Mispal tochi chavin es libo." So what is Avishol telling me? Simon the Dover talking libo. So he quotes here a Bach, and the Bach says that Mashmos Hakosuv, the real simple, straightforward pshat in the pasuk is Shaha Adam bi Atzmo Eino Yochel Chavin Libo LaShemayim. Take a look. It says Tochin Libo. You God prepare their hearts. Rakim Hakadosh Baruch Hu Mechines Libo. God has to chisel away at your heart in order to prepare it, and then Takshiv Aznecha, you'll be able to concentrate. But if in Ein Hakadosh Baruch Hu Ozro, without the Siyata Dishmai of God, Eino Yochel Lechavi Libo. He'll never get to that state. V'yafal Pichen, Yesh Bekach Simon. It only gives you an indication, Li'odam Shem Roy, he should try to do his best. Yisora Lechavinis Libo Me'atzmo. He will try to do whatever he can to get himself into the mood to focus with pure intentions on his tefillah. V'akash Baruch Hu, God will respond in turn. Yirek Yibol Atayr, that he's coming to reach a higher level of spirituality. V'yisayim Yodoh, God will help him. That's the Bach. And then he quotes the Ein Eliyahu. I'm not sure who the Ein Eliyahu is. His name was probably Eliyahu. And he writes the following. Masha Amru Hamispal Tzorchi Chavim Libo LeShamayim Biuro Shelo Yaso Kodem B'Tfilah B'Limud Amilim Kidei Shetia Shkur B'Fiv, that he need not spend too much time before his tefillah to review the words of the tefillah. El Rachmano Libo Boy, he could go ahead and daven. Va'ikar, where should he put his efforts? Not in preparing the words. That he should try to stimulate his focus, his kavana, his intention, and daven l'shamayim. Let's go back to the beginning of the pasuk. Tavas anovim shamato hayinira shirakla anovim. It sounds from the beginning of the pasuk that God only listens to the humble people. I don't fit into the category of anovim. I'm not on that matrega. Is ha'ikar hu she yisadru shetia hatfila shkura b'fia. L'chein eimzu raya gemura el asimah. He wants to say the following. There are two different categories here. There's one category called preparing the words. The other category is preparing my mindset to be in a frame of mind for tefillah. What is more important? And you could debate this issue back and forth. Oh. So the original statement of the Braisa was, Tzarech she'chaven es libo l'shamayim. Forget about the Pirush HaMilun. Don't put the
words. It didn't have written words.
Oh, that's a good question. But in any event, that's the pshat of the Ein Eliyahu, that don't focus your attention and your energies before you get up to pray on the words. Rachman Aliba Boy, HaKadosh Baruch wants you to have kavana. Focus on kavana. That you can't prove from this pasuk. Why? Because this pasuk is a reference to anovim, who fit into a special category that God listens to their prayers. For them, Eino Chinami, there is such a thing as kavana salib, but maybe for us, the simple guys, in order for us to psych ourselves up and work up a frenzy so that our prayers are so potent and powerful that God will listen, we have to focus on the words. So you could actually reject this pasuk as a proof for the original statement that we should be putting all our emphasis, all our, what's the phrase? All our something into a basket. What is it? The phrase. All our eggs into that basket of kavana sambilim. But rather, we should put all our eggs into the basket of kavana. No proof from this pasuk, but it's a siman ledavar. Why is it such a siman ledavar? Because since the pasuk does emphasize the kavana salev, right? It says tachin libam. Therefore, Takshiv Aznecha. God will listen to the prayers of someone who prepared his lev. So that's at least the Simon Ladov. Again, the Pasuk itself might be referring only to Anovin. And for you and I, we should be emphasizing the Pirush HaMilun. That's what he says over here. Again, you know, George, you raised a very interesting objection, but he says, Limud HaMilun. Liman Amilin, but what are the words? You know what? It could be, that's what I would tell you, George, and I have to research this if there's any truth to what I'm about to say. So take a Beiravon Mugbal. I would say that the Siddur that we have today wasn't invented overnight.
Sure.
In fact, I have a neighbor in Harnov who got a PhD from Bar Ilan on the history of the Haggadah. And he published hundreds of pages to show you that the different parts of the Haggadah were introduced over the course of centuries and centuries. You know, we open our Haggadah, we look at it, we think, you know, somebody overnight, no. The same thing I would say applies to the Siddur. I don't have a proof for this. It's just, you know, intuitive. That the Siddur evolved over the course of time. So they did have words, and they probably copied them over, and they passed them, you know, from one grandmother to another grandmother, you know, to one Baba to the next. And the tear, you know, the tear soaked the Sidurim. At the point of the Anshei Knesset Gedolah, which is going to be a sugya later on, it's a sugya actually before this. I didn't learn it with my boys, but you may have gotten to it already. In the fourth parak, there's a whole sugya about the 18 brachos and so forth and who instituted them and so forth. That took place to formalize the words of the Shmoneh Esrei. But the words of tefillah in general were already part of a tradition. But be that as it may, what we're seeing here is a very profound debate. If I have just about 5 minutes of time to prepare for tefillah, where should I put my eggs? Where should I put my energies? Should I emphasize, you know, getting my mind straight? Or should I review, you know, the text of the tefillah in order to understand the words? Okay then? All right, Rabosai, we'll stop here. Any questions before we go?
Hello?
No?
Did we ever get to the bottom of what Covered Rosh was?
Covered Rosh seems to be a mental state that impacts not only on your emotions, but even on your body. That's a very heavy requirement. That's why the Gemara offers a second alternative.
Third or fourth.
Yeah, where the Simchat Shel Mitzvah, Halacha Psuka, not everyone could get to the level of Kavod HaRosh. And if we're going to insist that Kavod HaRosh is the prerequisite for tefillah, most of us are out to lunch. We don't even have a shot at prayer. You know, you won't even get a mezumen here, let alone a minyan. Because who can reach that level of covenant?
But covenant rush could be different to be different levels for different folks. No,
that's what I think.
For me, it's not the same as the Rebbe, or not the same as.
Yeah, well, halacha, I would say that everyone has to know thyself, right? As Socrates said, if you can get to the level of covenant rush, that's what you have to do. If you're more into the joy and the jovial mood of Simcha, it's got to be Simcha Shel Mitzvah, it should be Torah, Halacha Psuka, Psuka Dezimra we spoke about, everyone call Ish Lefi Kocha.
But these are alternatives to Kavod Rosh?